And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? Then in Romans 6, verse number 23, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The lost sinner, before he rejects Jesus Christ as his Savior, needs to answer the question, what shall our wages be? Before an individual forsakes God, he needs to ask himself the same question. Crime does not pay. Oh, yes, it does. But the wages that has to be paid, it's certain that what a man sows, that shall he also reap. He sows to the flesh, rebellion against God, and he shall reap what he sowed. He'll reap the corruption that will come. We need to face the facts that no one ever sinned and got by with it. Adam and Eve didn't get by with sinning. Look at Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse number 16. Unto the woman, for her part in being beguiled by the serpent, her part in the sin, it says, unto the woman, He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now her act against God, disobeying God, then this was the end result. This is what her wages was to be. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And so Adam and Eve didn't get away with it. As a matter of fact, Adam and Eve saw one of their sons kill their other son, Cain killing Abel. You see, they didn't get away with sin. They had wages that had to be paid, and all the wages that were paid. Cain, when he slew his brother Abel, he did not get away with it, a vagabond and so forth, and he was cast out on his own. And so he didn't get away with sinning. Samson didn't get away with committing sin. God raised him up and gave him power to take and bring Israel out from the conquering of the Philistines and out from under the oppression of the Philistines. And yet he was so caught up in fulfilling the lusts of his flesh, he went about it and went after a woman by the name of Delilah, and it cost him his eyesight. Did the work of a donkey for a while, and then when he pulled the building down, he killed out the leadership and the majority of the Philistines, which God had sent him to do to begin with, but he did it his way, and look at the wages that he had to pay. The wages were great. David didn't get away. Nathan come to him and told him, "Thou art the man, David. You're the one that's guilty." And what was it? What was David's payment? He lost the child that he had. And then he lost a son, his favorite son, no doubt. And his favorite son died and went to hell. And David knew it. My son, Absalom. You see, there's a payday that always comes. Why do we think we can get away with it by willfully sinning against God? Why do the lost think they can continue in sin and rebel against Christ and count the sacrifice and suffering that he made and his shed blood as nothing? How can God's people think that they can have it their way and not have to pay the wage that it brings? Having it my way is rebellion against God. Now we think maybe it's rebellion against someone else, but it's not. It's against God. Consider some of the wages received for sin. The voice of Ahab and Jezebel, or the price rather that Ahab and Jezebel had to pay. Look at 1 Kings 21 and verse 17. 1 Kings 21 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." So he had the wages to pay. He did not get away. Hey, look at the 11th, or the 2nd Kings, rather, the 9th chapter, 2nd Kings chapter 9. Second Kings chapter 9, beginning with verse number 30. "And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, Had Zimri peace who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, Who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, Throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, Go, see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezebel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, This is Jezebel." What a price. What a reaping. Was it worth it? They desired Naboth's vineyard. Ahab just had to have it. And Jezebel, she just had to see that he got it. What was their wages? Was it worth it? You see, ill-gotten gain never benefits. It never benefits. Whether it's whatever that it might be that we're seeking to gain, when we go about it in the wrong way, when we seek it in our will instead of the will of the Lord, then this is the result. The price Herod had to pay. Look at Acts 12, verses 20 through 23. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed royal in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. You know, in spite of man's sin, rebellion against God, in spite of man having his way, when the wages are paid, people get the message. God will use even the terrible things that happen because of man's sin and turn it and use it to his honor and his glory. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts the 5th chapter. They had property they were going to sell and give it to the Lord, give it to the church. And they sold it and got a lot more money than what they thought, and they held some back. Their commitment was to give it all. They just gave a part and held back. And when they come in, he fell down dead. And then she come in and she fell down dead. Ill-gotten gain doesn't avail you anything, but it does bring a payday. And that payday will cost you a lot more than you would have gained had you got away with it. And sometimes we get away with it for a little while and we think we made it, and then pretty soon God will take up a collection because he's faithful concerning his promise of us reaping what we shall sow. Sowing to the flesh, living in sin, never is there a profit, and never is there going to be a profit, and especially for God's people. We need to consider some of the experiences of individuals that we might know, those who were saved but rebelled against the Lord. They lost all that they had. They lost children. They got seriously ill. They had family trouble. This one thing after another coming upon them. And yet, many of them continue to go, continue in sin, continue to enjoy what they think is a good life. But listen, the good life is living for the Lord and being obedient to him, being submissive to him. Jesus came and he set the example. And his cry always was, "Not my will, but thine be done." He didn't seek to do his will. He sought to do the Father's will continually. And that was an example for us. We should continually seek to do his will, and that his will might be done in our life. That way, he'll bless and prosper our life, and we'll receive a good wage. But if we don't do it that way, we'll receive the other, the bad one. And each one of these that we've seen here, and there's other examples in the scripture, and we know of other examples as far as people that we've known personally in the Lord's work and so forth. And even some still yet that we see the Lord taking up a collection and they don't even realize what's going on in their lives. It's just one of those things that happen. It's not. God's still on the throne. He's still bringing forth and fulfilling his word and his promises. His promises for the good, according to so-called Christianity. It's all good. It's all for the good. Listen, when we walk against God, it's not going to be for the good. We can see it time and time again. Some, in spite of everything you can do, they continue on. The rich man in Luke 16, that's how that he was. No doubt that beggar, Lazarus, he warned him. He at least told him what it took to be saved. Because when he lifted up his eyes in hell, he wanted him to go back and warn his brethren that they would repent. No doubt he heard that from Lazarus. But he ignored it. He went on his way. He had the best in this life. But what did it benefit him? To this day, eternally, he is suffering in torment because he was not willing to listen and submit and yield to his Maker. There's danger with those who neglect their prayer life and Bible study. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Those who forsake assembling themselves together with the church. In Hebrews 10:25, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Those who have neglected giving, like the children of Israel in Malachi 3, the manner in which they were giving. They were giving of the leftover. When we give, we need to give God the first fruits. That's his order. We should not neglect it. Those who have given over to envy and jealousy need to repent and get it right with God. That will simply bring you to reap what you sowed. Jesus has paid the price for sin if we'll only accept it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ, who hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. Jesus paid the price for sin if we'll only accept the payment that he made. The lost will only accept that payment if we will only do what he has told us to do as children of God, is confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's how simple that it is. That's really how easy that it is. But we have to come in humility. We have to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, as David of old did. David did some terrible things, including having a man killed to cover up his sin. And yet he brought himself to a place to where he could repent of his sin and confess and forsake and then continue on. Though the rest of his life he paid for it through his children. Parents, you need to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You don't, you'll pay. Sin brings separation. Jesus was separated for us. Matthew, the 27th chapter and verse 46. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was separated from the Father for the only time in all of eternity for us, so that we would not have to be separated eternally. Sin brings death, and he tasted death for every man if we'll just bring our sin to him and let him take care of it. The greatest sin of all is to fight against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and reject Jesus, whether it be the lost sinner who rejects him or whether it be a child of God that continues on is not willing to relent and get it right with him. If you're here tonight, Jesus did everything that's needed to be done in order to take care of the sin in your life. And I don't know whether you got how much sin or what sin you got in your life. I know mine, but I don't know yours. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're lost. I don't know if you're just the age of accountability and come under conviction or if you're not. But you need to know that Jesus is the only way to take care of the sin problem that you have. And it's certain that every individual in this world has a sin problem, because we're all sinners, because it's our nature to sin. Comes natural. But Jesus, against our nature, paid the penalty for our sin that we might bring it to him. But how many are not willing? That's the sad part of the whole thing. The lost are not willing, but then God's people aren't willing either, because they're going their way. I know individuals, I know preachers, I know churches who are going the way of sin, who are going the way of the world against the will of God. And they're continuing to go that way knowing that they're wrong. Yeah. Knowing that, how do I know they are? Because they've confessed it to me. Yeah. But all the payday that's going to come, and all the payday that has come. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, you either let the blood of Jesus pay that payment for you, or you'll pay it. What shall we sing, brother?
125.
As we sing this hymn, won't you come? Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention.